It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Deborah Wong, sitting in for Bill Radke, and we're live tweeting at KUOW. This month, we've seen two more high-profile killings of black men at the hands of police and shootings of police officers in Dallas and Baton Rouge. Those killings were part of what prompted Eula Scott Bino to organize a public discussion with white people about race. Eula is one of three co-hosts of the podcast Hella Black, Hella Seattle. This Sunday on Capitol Hill, she'll be bringing together a group of black people and a group of white people to talk about race on stage. The group will include her friend Alyssa Wehrman, who's white. I asked Alyssa what her response was when Eula asked her to be part of a public event about race and racism.
What was my reaction? It was pretty, I was surprised.
Yeah.
I definitely had to pause and just say, wow, and really take in the enormity of what you were asking me. You know, is this something that I'm capable of doing? Well, whatever, I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, it wasn't, I think, just sort of having to step back and sort of say, like, okay, something needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I have a place in this.
Yeah.
I am a white person. I have a place in this. I have a lot of power. I have a lot of privilege. That the conversation needs to be shifted. And I recognize that I am a part of this and that my liberation is entwined with yours.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I don't have it all figured out.
Yeah, me either.
No way. And if I can go up there and make some huge guffaws, you know, and just show people that, okay, I'm going to still sit here, you know,
yeah.
Like that'll probably do better than if I go up there and I act like I got it all together and I know exactly what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
You know, I almost want to make mistakes so that somebody can like check me.
Yeah.
So that I can be like, hey, look, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out afterwards and have some biscuits. Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
Okay.
No, so true. This is a quick short story, but this just plays into it.
This is going to be quick.
My preschool teacher and I are very close. And the other day I'm walking through the house and my mom says to me, have you talked to her for, you know, Fran? And I said, no, what's up? And she was like, well, I haven't talked to her in a while. I feel like she's mad at me. And I was like, oh, what happened? And she was like, I don't know. She said something white and privileged. And I called her on it. And so she hasn't talked to me for a couple of months. And I was like, oh, man, are you guys really beefing? And my mom was like, no, this happens all the time. We've been friends for 30-something years. Mm-hmm. There are moments where we're going to have to, I have to call her out on these problems. She has to take it in, mm-hmm. decide whether or not I was just being, you know, too Beverly or super right. And then she comes back and we're best friends again. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's a big part of it, too, recognizing that we can come back from these kinds of conversations and still love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question for both of you. Why do you think it is so hard to have conversations, open conversations about race? Why is that so hard for us?
It's not hard for me.
I was going to say, it's probably not hard for
you. I talk about
you.
Race all the time. I tell people that I was raised in a household. My parents were social rights activists and workers' rights activists. And so they constantly had meetings. And the meetings were not just black people. The meetings were of all backgrounds. And they talked all the time about problems in this country. And so for me, it's as natural as like talking about coffee. And it's also as clear to me as talking mm-hmm. about coffee. I'm kind of surprised when people are like, I didn't see that or I didn't feel that. Because mm-hmm. I'm almost like, oh, I see it. All I do is see it.
Yeah.
And so I bring it up pretty much 15 minutes after meeting anyone.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa, how about you? Is it comfortable, uncomfortable to talk about race?
Well, I think it depends on who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
But it's an internal dialogue that goes on in my head every day, you know. I mean, I'm constantly noticing things. I'm constantly talking about things. My family will tell you that, you know, I'm always bringing up something or interrupting or just asking a question. Why did you say that? Or, you know, hey, my son and I talk about this. So with certain people, it's not uncomfortable, but I need to work on the people that it's uncomfortable to talk about.
Eula, are you hoping that this event will be kind of a way to model these conversations? You know, because it is, some of these things are difficult for people to hear. When you talk about directness, you know, people often can bristle when they feel attacked or, right? And that's not necessarily the most mm-hmm. effective way to carry on a conversation. So are you hoping to model better ways of getting those points across?
I'm hoping people walk away with tools on how to talk to each other. So, yeah, I hope that they walk away with how to better have this conversation and what a conversation looks like and feels like. Honestly, you can't give a person like a script for these kinds of things because they don't know what they're walking into. But I think people need to understand the value of their conversation. One of the big reasons why this came to my mind was because I was at a wedding when everything happened. Like during the two killings, I was in Oakland for my cousin's wedding. And my cousin and her partner are both POC, but their larger community is largely white. And I kind of magnetize people that want to talk about race. Also, well, all brown people do when they're in white spaces, right? The white people are just like, I don't have anything else to talk to you besides the black things I know. Mm. And so this one woman was saying how she has she really wants to move to the east, to the West Coast. She, because all of their people are from the East, and she really likes how diverse it is and how communicating everyone is and how accepting and loving, and how she was raised super left. Her dad is like all the way left, progressive, but he says things that she's had to, like, you know, cringe at. And she thought to herself, like, my dad is kind of is racist, right? And so she said she doesn't really talk to him. And I was like, that doesn't help me. Mm-hmm. You not talking to this dude is the opposite of what I need you to do. Mm-hmm. You cutting him off and moving to the West Coast and living your super mm-hmm. liberal life and then still going home for holidays and calling him when you need money is not going to help me. What would help me is if you talk to him mm-hmm. all the time. Hard conversations, fun conversations, realizing that he's not completely wrong in every facet just because he makes mistakes sometimes. We are all like undoing all that we've learned for 600 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to give people a break sometimes. The same way black people have been learned to be kind of accepting of what they've been given, I think that white people have been taught that we are less than. And so we've got to have this huge, you know, fix where it goes, talk about it, figure it out. The same way we're like reteaching all of our community, you have value, you have worth, you can be something, all this black girl magic, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. White people have to start saying like, cool, I think that I have some issues. I got to mm-hmm. work those out. I got to talk to myself. I got to talk to my friends. I have to talk to my family.
So Alyssa, when you want to then start a conversation about race with other folks in your life, how do you start it? I mean, how do you bring mm-hmm. this up?
So, I mean, I think it depends on who I'm talking to, but like specifically, I am going to just say it out loud because I need to do it. I need to talk with my parents. I was raised in a household with a police officer, I want to know how they feel about, you know, the most recent killings, but in general, police and their attitudes towards black people. I want to know.
You haven't had this conversation yet?
No, I haven't. Because it goes, I mean, the power that was just inherently in the household that I grew up in is, you know, I don't know what that feels like to be a black person, you know, policed in the world. But I know what that power feels like, you know. There was always just this separation. I've definitely had interactions with police officers. As a white woman, I'm a petite person. I navigate spaces very easily, you know, all of these things. So I feel like I can have that conversation with my parents. How am I going to start it? I'm going to start it by talking with my mom in an email, probably saying, hey, let's talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get a little more specific and say, hey, yeah, I was wondering if maybe we could talk about some of the recent news events. Yeah. And then the next time I write her, I might be like, oh, yeah, hey, sometimes maybe I wonder, you know, I'm just kind of curious about, you know, so-and-so's not in the police department anymore. Like, let's talk about, like, what, how do y'all feel about this? Maybe sometime. Mm-hmm. And, like, let them go and, like, have a talk about it and get it out.
Yeah.
And then, like, actually have a talk, you know?
Yeah.
So that I'm not taking her by surprise, so that there can't be that, like, defensive. There's definitely this, like, verboten, like, I don't talk about politics in my family. I don't talk about religion. I don't talk mm-hmm. about, like, police. Like, there's that kind of understood thing that I grew up with. And I mean, I'm 42 years old. I can say,
yeah,
I'm a part of this family, and I'm calling you into this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, past that point, I mean, I haven't ever really pushed on doing that. And if it really doesn't work or go anywhere after numerous attempts, I don't know what to do after that, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it would have an amazing impact.
Yeah.
You know?
It's worth trying.
Absolutely.
But it also brings up, I mean, just watching your face and the emotion that you have, it also brings up that these issues can bring up so much more than just whatever is being talked about, right? There's a lot of baggage that all of us carry about these things that make it really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not just this issue that we would be calling in all sorts of demons and ghosts from the past.
Yeah. Could be good.
Which is more important to talk about that if it's going to help Black people not getting killed.
Yeah. Well, if it's going to help your own sense of well-being as
well. I'm not sure that it would. I mean, it might compromise my relationship, but if it's right, that's just what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that whole thing where, you know, we talk about our family. I think that this, what I'm hearing from this and thinking is that family is where we have to start, right? Because I hear when people say things like, oh, I posted something online and I lost a handful of followers and I'm okay with that. Those are people you didn't even know anyways. Like, Facebook's not a real world. We've talked about this.
Man.
And so, but you can't unfollow your mom, your dad, your cousins, your partner, perhaps, and your kids. So those are the people that you need to have these conversations with. So I'm hoping that.
Yeah. And we have access to that.
Yeah.
I have access to people that you don't have access to, that Black people don't have access
Absolutely.
To. These corners and these crevices where I can go and I can reach people.
Yeah.
I have to use that.
Yeah.
That was Alyssa Wehrman and Eula Scott Bino. They'll be talking about race and racism at a panel conversation this Sunday on Capitol Hill in Seattle from 4 to 5. It's part of the Bad Will Market pop-up. We're tweeting out a link to the event now, and we'll give you all the details. It's The Record. I'm Deborah Wong.